Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And Lord, it's been a long, long time. We've had our faith in you. We've trusted you. We've been steadfast. People have sacrificially given, I mean, way, way beyond, Lord, over the edge. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word and that blesses and promises that blessing. Tonight, again, I thank you for people with a heart, Lord, to stand with you in what you're doing in this community. Oh, Lord, you've done so much for us. We love you. Whatever you want us to do with our lives, in any way, we'll do it. Now, Lord, I pray tonight your word will be alive to our hearts. Make this real to us. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Lord Jesus, be glorified. Father, we honor you in this place. We thank you now, Lord. Anoint me, anoint our hearts as we receive this word, as you instruct us. We thank you, Lord. You want to do great things in this place tonight. We have faith. We believe it. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ushers are going to serve you right now. And if you're making out a check, make it to Countryside in the bottom of your check. Just put matching fund. That'd be group building fund. Tonight, I said I was going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to begin a series, a study on the Holy Spirit on Sunday evenings. And I just know what happens when you talk about the Holy Spirit, when you acknowledge him, when you honor the Holy Spirit, you know that he shows up. It's just when you acknowledge him, things begin to happen. When you just don't pay attention to the Spirit, you know, then, you know, he kind of rises and falls with our faith. He wants to do great things, but as we trust him. And so tonight I want to talk about that. He's a real person. He is a real person. You know, the Trinity is a mystery. I don't care what anybody says. I don't think that anybody really understands the Trinity. It's really beyond our comprehension. Three persons in one. Three separate persons, but all one. But the scripture certainly talks about it. You know, and that there isn't anybody, any consistent believer in the Bible, you know, that doesn't believe in a triune God. I mean, it's really here. So in addition to really the numberless references to different persons of the Godhead, which are found, I mean, throughout the whole Bible, there are also certain particular passages which refer to all three members of the Trinity. We see them there in the same passage. Let's take a look at those. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, that it tells us in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. Can we put these on the screen as we go? So let's read it together. John saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven and heard a voice saying, well, you guys, how many of you graduated from high school and know how to read? All right, let's try this. Remember? Okay, so Jesus is being baptized. Here we go. Let's read it together. John saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven and heard a voice say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So who's the Father? He was pleased in his Son, right? And we see all three members. The Holy Spirit's descending as a dove. Jesus is being baptized. And that the Father spoke from heaven. We see all members of the Trinity as they're present. Let's take a look at another one. We also see in John 14, 16. Here Jesus is praying again. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus. So that we see he's praying to the Father. It's Jesus who's in prayer, the Son of God, praying that he will send another comfort, send the Holy Spirit. So these three persons are mentioned. They really can't be denied as they exist, you know, concurrently. And yet as different persons. Let's take a look at another one. Here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, they're talking about being sent out and baptizing believers. And let's take a look at this scripture. All right, let's put that up there. He says, let's read it together again. Can we do it? You're catching on. Okay. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Can we deny that the Trinity is there? I don't know how. There are some Christians that do that. They do not believe in a Trinity. But I don't really get it. There are people that call themselves Jesus only. There's Jesus only. Jesus is Spirit. Jesus is the Father. Jesus, you know, there's just Jesus only. But they baptize in Jesus' name only. That's why I'm very careful when I baptize. Because whatever we do, we're to do in the name of Jesus. That's the authority that God has given us. I have authority. And I do it in the name of Jesus. It would be like if I went to a commission meeting and the mayor said, this is what I want you to do in the city, and I'm giving you permission to do this, and I want to sign this. Here's my name. If anybody questions it, they know that you're going in my authority, and I'm asking you to do this. And so when I go to a businessman or somebody, I say, listen, I'm here in by the authority that the mayor's given me. Here's his name. That's what we do. Whatever we do, we're to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We have authority from heaven given to us. Everything you do, we're to do in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? When you pray in what? The name of Jesus. Now, if somebody has authority, you don't have to say it over and over and over and over and over and over. You know, if I was going up somebody's door and the mayor wanted me to go out and do something, you know, I wouldn't go up and say, good day, I'm here in the name of the mayor. And I want you to know right now, I'm asking this in the name of the mayor. And I want you to know that da-da-da-da-da in the name of the mayor. I wouldn't say it over and over and over. Sometimes we do that with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, name, Jesus, name. When you have authority, you got it. In the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to do it over and over. An ambassador from the United States goes because they've been given authority. They've been given authority under the auspices of the United States of America, and all the power of America stands behind them as they go forth as our ambassadors. That's why they're very careful to protect our ambassadors, to stand with them wherever they go, because they're there. It's an insult to our government. You know, it shows a weakness if we don't stand with those that represent us. Do you understand that? But when they go, they don't go and say, you know, they might say, I come in the name of the United States as an ambassador, but they don't every other sentence say, I come in the name of the United States. I'm here to greet you in the name of the United States. I will eat this meal in the name of the United States. You know, it's just they know they stand in that authority. And that's the way it is with us. The name doesn't do it. It's your faith to know you're standing in the authority of Jesus Christ. So that it's not over and over and over and over and over. So we need to know that's the authority that God has given us. And that here we see that go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when I baptize, here's what I say. I say, now through the authority of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? I'm covering my bases. I do it in the name of Jesus, and I recognize the Trinity that God says we do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And by the way, when we move into the new building, I'm not sure which week we're going to do it. We're going to do it pretty soon. Maybe even the second or third week we're in that new building. We're going to have, how many of you have never been baptized in water since you've been a born again believer? Can I see your hands? Don't be, you know, ashamed. But let me see your hands. Just put them up high. You know, I just know there's people all over this church that since they've come to know Christ their Savior, they haven't been baptized. We're going to have a baptismal, I mean a great big baptismal, in a Sunday evening service, and I'm going to preach about it, and then everybody in church that hasn't been baptized, wouldn't that be awesome? Just fill up believers and that tank and baptize them. Hallelujah. And just go into that church, clean, sanctified, everybody baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Moving out with Jesus. So that's right. So Let's take a look at another one. This is in this apostolic, you know, prayer, this benediction found in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Let's put that one up there too. All right, let's read this together. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There we see the Trinity. We also see it in Acts 2:32 and verse 33, and we see it in Acts 10:38, and there are other scriptures as well that show, you know, that Holy Trinity. I don't want to simplify it or, you know, get off here, but, you know, I kind of visualize the Trinity as the Godhead as a, if you look at it, as a corporation called God, and God the Father is the chairman of the board, and Jesus is the president. And the Holy Spirit administrates everything that takes place at this board as they come together. And they all do it in oneness, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we call that corporation God. That's the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But they're all involved in the work. And they're all involved in different things, as we're going to see. But the Trinity is a real thing. But tonight, I especially want to talk about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. And so as we look at his personality, we find it in some of these scriptures, and that we see it's really fact as he manifests himself. In Romans chapter 8, verse 27, talking about the Spirit. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. That's a capital S. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has a mind. Is that right? Okay, do you agree? All right. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 12:11. It says, but all these work the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man as he will. He's talking about in giving gifts. So does the Holy Spirit have a will? Yes. It said that he has a will. Yes. He does as he will. All right. Let's look in Ephesians 4:30. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And again, in Isaiah 63, verse 10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. So we see here, he has a mind, he has a will, he has emotions. Is that a person? Yes. Let's go on. Let's look at some of the personal activities, you know, that are ascribed to the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 6, 3, it says, he strives with sinners. In John 14, 26, he says that he teaches. He leads us into truth. In John 16, 26, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he testifies of Christ. He brings forth Christ and testifies of him. That's why the Spirit works in us, as we bring forth Jesus and testify Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. And that some people, they never testify Jesus, so they never feel the presence of God. And that man, what it's like to have the Holy Spirit work for them. Because the Holy Spirit is here and he works in an anointing. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything just to give us thrills and chills. The Holy Spirit shows up in an anointing to proclaim in the name of Jesus and do the work of God. That's when the Lord uses us. That anointing is not for personal blessing. It's to minister to others. It's to minister to others. And so when we step out in faith, it's amazing. We'll begin to share and the Holy Spirit will come us and things will come out of our mouth and bring things to our remembrance. We didn't even, whoa, where did he come to that? I knew that. Because that's the Holy Spirit shows up. But he waits for us to step out in faith, and then he's there and he'll testify of Jesus as we'll take that step of faith. How many have ever had that experience? You just begin to share and the Holy Spirit shows up and you know, even as you're sharing it, you're going, whoa, man, I don't believe I said that. Actually, I'd been walking with the Lord. I'd read the scriptures. I'd really dedicated my life to the Lord. But I hadn't found a church yet where I was really grounded. And it was all new to me. And that I still was just kind of, you know, didn't have that place of all the assurance of my salvation. I had it, you know, it was all there. But back then I had a roommate, and his name was Wendell. We affectionately called him Wendy. And he said to me, he said, you know, I just never quite understood the cross. And I said, really? I said, well, let me share this with you. And as I began to share with him about the cross and what Jesus did and how he finished that work and how we put our faith in the Lord God and he sends his Spirit in us and seals us. I mean, like the Holy Spirit comes on me and these things are going out of my mouth to him and coming right back into my own ears. And we're both sitting there like, I mean, he had the same look. His eyes were really big and he's sitting there and he's taking it all in and I'm kind of going, whoa, and God is just bringing it out and makes it clear to me exactly what's happening. And when I was done, I said, I don't think I said that. And he said, I don't think you said that either. You know, but when we step out in faith, God will speak through us and minister and he teaches of Jesus. He testifies of the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's take a look at some more. So he testifies of Christ. We see in John 16, 8, we'll talk about this a little more. He reproves, or that is, he convicts. Before anybody can get saved, they have to know that they need to get saved. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings that conviction that we know, I need the Lord. That's why people here, they'll move. I was watching, they'll begin to cry and that they'll know they're guilty. And that so they surrender to Jesus because they know they need to be saved. If nobody, they don't know they need to be saved, they don't think they're really that bad, then, you know, They don't, there's no conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it real. You are a sinner. You have sin. Let's remember this. Oh yeah. I forgot about that. You know, the Holy Spirit does that. Okay. Let's hear John 16, 13. He guides us. He's the one that directs us and guides us. Romans 8:14, it says the same thing as he leads and guides us. It says in Acts 9:31, the Holy Spirit, he comforts. So we see all these actions, personal activities he's involved with. He helps our infirmities, Romans 8:26. He intercedes for the saints, Romans 8:26. He searches the deep things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:10. It says in Romans 15:16, he sanctifies us. He works ever to bring forth the life of Christ in us, working in us, producing that life of Christ, sanctifying, setting us apart, convicting us of our sins even after we're saved. And it cleanses, purifies us, deals with our hearts, that we feel real conviction when we're disobedient to God. He witnesses, Romans 8:16. It says in Acts 16:6, he commands. It says in Acts 5:3 that he's susceptible to personal treatment. He said that he can be lied to. They lied to the Holy Ghost. In Acts 7:15, he can be resisted. How you resist the Holy Spirit, just like your fathers did, he said. A resistance to the Holy Spirit. Not yielding, not letting him have his way in our lives. It says in Matthew 12, 31 and 32, that he can be blasphemed. Matthew 12, 31, 32. He can be grieved. We shared that. I'm sorry, that's Ephesians 4:30. We talked about that. And that he can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. We can quench the Holy Spirit. We can shut him off. Not let him have his way. Instead of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Being aware. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, there's a peace, there's a direction that's going to come in our lives. He wants us to have that every day of our lives. When we're just aware of the person of the Holy Spirit, it'll change your life. When you get up in the morning and recognize the presence of God, and you feel the presence of God, it's the Holy Spirit that's bringing the presence of God in our lives. And we have faith, we recognize him. How many of you have felt God? You know, you don't have to feel God to get saved, but you can feel God. How many have felt the presence of God in your lives? It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And that all we have to do to feel the presence of God is recognize him. He's there all the time. How come we don't feel him more? Because we don't stop and recognize him. We don't take time for him. We don't stop in the middle of what we're doing and just pause. God, I recognize you. You're here. And the moment you do that, the Holy Spirit, see, he's focusing in. He's bringing our mind now, bringing that peace, lifting us up. There's perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. It's the Spirit of God that does that. Because faith rises in our heart through the word as we trust him. And that the Holy Spirit is there to bear witness to us. Now, I want to talk tonight about the difference between personality and corporeity. I'll say what I mean. See, there are those that have a difficulty distinguishing between the two. Between a personality, that's being a person. He's a person. He has a personality. And having corporeity, that's having a body. He doesn't have a body, but he has personality. He's a spirit. He's not flesh and blood. So they can't understand or believe anything which is invisible or intangible. You know, that doesn't have a body. How can it be a person without a body? Jesus said, Luke 24:29, a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see me have. But a spirit is a person, personality. The Holy Spirit is a person. He also said, God is a spirit in John 4:24. It's recorded in John 8:18. It's recorded, it says, no man has seen God at any time. God's a spirit, but he says to see me is to see the Father. That the Father's been manifest, that Jesus the Son, when we see Jesus the Son, we see his Father in him and through him, the life of God. Jesus is not the Father, but he's time's Father. That we read that in Isaiah, you know, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Not Heavenly Father, time's Father. He's populating eternity. He is my big brother, but he's also my Father. I was birthed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have life because of him. I've entered into eternity because of him. I've entered into relationship with God, the Holy Heavenly Father. Did you understand that? So there's a relationship. But we need to see, I'm talking about not having a body. No man has seen God at any time, he said. But the creator and the ruler of the universe, you see, is a person. I mean, so the Holy Spirit himself must be a person. So we need to see the Holy Spirit is like the Father. He is a person. He's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit, how could we confine him to a body if he's omnipresent? It'd be impossible for him to function as God. But he's real. He's here now. The Holy Spirit is a person who's here. He wants us to be aware of him. Something happens when you recognize him. So, having the facilities and the attributes of a person, you know, that constitutes being a person. And he has all those things, whether or not he has a body or not, or resides in a body. So that's something really important for us to understand. And he needs to be treated that way. That we recognize him. He's not just some force. He's not just some spooky thing. He is a real person. He can be resisted. We can vex him. When we deny him and resist him, and he won't force himself. He's a God of love and grace. He won't force himself. He won't flex his muscle. He's a gentle spirit. He's a comforter. He can get riled. And he's backed up with some mighty power because he has omnipotence. He just like God the Father, he's an omnipotent spirit, all might and power. Woohoo! When God moves by his spirit, mountains can shake and split and waters can split. Man, lightning come out of the sky and you'll be flat on your face before God. And you go, you know, because of the spirit of God who moves. Let's talk about, you know, that next, you know, this, the need for genuine faith in his personality. So, although accepted, you know, by most Orthodox Christians as theologically correct and true, you know, the fact of the personality of the Holy Spirit, it needs to have that practical acceptance in our minds and our hearts and believers. Not just something that's theologically correct, but something that becomes a real thing to us. You know, in the church, I remember when I was a kid, you know, they'd say, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Holy, you know, that they go through the various creeds and they'd say it with their mouth in a ceremony. And yet, you know, they didn't know the Holy Spirit. I've shared this before and you know, I'm not going to tell you what denomination it is, or the name of the pastor, but I was in high school and went to church because it's where my parents went to church, and that they said, you know, I'd become a member of the church, and I think I was a senior in high school at that time. I'd been in church 4 years. I don't remember how it all went. And so I was supposed to have a meeting with a pastor before I became a member of the church. So he met with me and he shared. I do not remember anything that he said. And that, you know, I really wasn't interested at that time, tell you the truth, you know, but I didn't have any spiritual perception at all. But he said, would you have any questions? I said, yeah, I do. I said, what's the Holy Ghost? Because in my mind, the Holy Ghost was like, you know, friendly Casper or something, you know? I mean, it was like, woo, you know? And I thought, what is the Holy Ghost? What is that? And he says, oh. And he gave me this long theological definition of the Holy Ghost. And when he was done, I didn't still know what the Holy Ghost was. Now, if somebody had asked me and they say, Pastor John, what's the Holy Ghost? Inside, I go, whoa, man, you know, what's the Holy Ghost? All right, you know, this person's ready to get saved. And we talk about the Holy Spirit as a real person and how he brings new birth to us when we believe in the Lord God. Jesus takes the place of, or the Holy Spirit takes the place of Jesus on earth and moves and ministers and brings forth his love and his power and his light and leads and directs us and teaches us and leads in the scripture. And that you can know him and you can experience him. It's not just a doctrine, but when you yield to him, he'll send that spirit into your heart and the Holy Spirit will come and live in you and take the place of Jesus living in you. Man, man, if somebody had asked me what the Holy Spirit is, why didn't he know what to say? He didn't know him. It was just theology. He wasn't a born again man. Just because somebody wears a backward collar or is in a pulpit, that doesn't mean that they've been born again. You can go to seminary and still not be saved. Hello. How many of you came out of the Methodist church? Can I see that? You know, who was the founder of the Methodist Church? Wesley. And do you remember the story? Wesley was in America ministering to American Indians as a missionary. He'd come from England and was ministering. And on the way back, he was on a ship and a storm came upon that ship. And he was with a group of believers called Moravians. These people were awesome. You know, the head of that was a man named Zinderdorf. They had a 100-year prayer chain that wasn't broken. We complain about praying one night. A prayer chain that was not broken for 100 years, 24 hours a day, for 100 years. Do you believe God would move on those people? Wow, man, they didn't even need a sail. I mean, it was just, you know. But as they came back, a great storm came. Wesley was filled with such fear because of this storm that was a fierce storm. He thought, this is it. I'm going to die. And he was filled with such fear that he was going to meet God. But he saw these people, these Moravians, had such a peace that right in the middle of it, they weren't fearful. Man, what is this that they have that I don't have? And that's what sparked him putting his trust in God. He talks about the experience when he went back to England and how he became saved and how he had a real experience with the person of the Holy Spirit in his life. And out of that came a fire, came a zeal that he preached incessantly his whole life, sermon after sermon, mile after mile, across the Atlantic. I forget how many times in ministering in England, ministering in America, there were more churches started through that man than we know of anybody else in history that were churches that were formed and were started in America and in England because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. So you can believe it. It can be some kind of a doctrine, but God wants us to experience him. You know, not just something we say in a ceremony. He's a real person. And that he is real. The Holy Spirit is a real person. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another. Notice, another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So who's the first comforter that he's talking about? Him. Jesus himself. I'll give you another comforter, like me. I'm going to send the Spirit another comforter. So he's a real person. And he says, another comforter that he may abide with you a little while. No, forever. He's eternal God. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. Eternal life comes through the Spirit that lives in us. And as Jesus has been, you know, as he was real on the face of the earth among the people, as they heard him, they saw him, the miracles, the things that happened, the things he shared, you know, the Holy Spirit was going to take his place. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn back to, turn to 1 John. 1 John, toward the end of the Bible, right before the book of Revelation there. First John, and turn to verse 1. Says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. How's that fellowship with God the Father? How's that take place? How do you become one with someone that's a born-again Christian and with the Father in heaven? Through the Holy Spirit. And that he's saying that Jesus was among them. It says, you know, we heard him. You know, that we were able to touch him and hand him with our hands. We saw the miracles, the things that he did. He says, now the Comforter is going to take his place. That's what he's going to do. That even though he's invisible, he's here. He's going to be our personal companion, our personal guide, a friend, a teacher. He's going to bring forth his power. He's going to minister to us. He's going to touch us. He's going to bring healing. He's going to lead and guide and provide for us and all the time to bring his peace, to take over the ministry of Jesus Christ here on earth. The very same ministry of Christ, the Holy Spirit is going to continue and has continued to this day. And that's who he is. So he's not just some doctrine. But he's an active member of the Trinity that's ministering in us, that's ministering through us. And why? Why don't we see more fruit in our life? We're not filled with the Spirit. We're not trusting in him. We're not depending on him. We do it in our own strength. When we pray, we're not needful of him. Even to pray, oh God, pray through me. By your Spirit, quicken things to my mind. Things you'd have me to pray today. Let me pray by the power of your Spirit. Give me wisdom today by your Spirit. Direct me, God, by your Spirit today. As we depend on him and recognize him all the time. You watch what will happen when you start recognizing the Spirit of God. Oh, he's there. He's ready, willing, and able. He'll do even more than you've anticipated or you expected him to do. Now, I want to tell you, it's a mistake to use the word it with the Holy Spirit, even though there's a couple references. I want to talk about that. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. So the Holy Spirit, you know, is never to be considered merely a blessing or a feeling or an influence. That's not it at all. So let's look and turn to Romans if you have your Bible, and turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Let's look here in verse 16. Here's the first place. It says that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. And let's look in verse 26 while we're here as well. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself, instead of himself, itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I really believe that doubtless the use of the word it has to do with wind or breath, which is the neuter gender. And that when the King James Bible was written, they just weren't real common with it. It's the rock of God, the breath of God. And so it was called the it because of he's the breath, the rock of God. But he's really a person, and he's very distinct. Yes, he is the breath of God, but it comes, it's a divine, you know, birthing of it through the Holy Spirit as a person. Lastly, I want to talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit tonight, that the Holy Spirit is very God, and it's proven throughout scriptures by his identification with God, you know, in many times. You know, we talked about in the formula of baptism, you know, that we see, but there's other scriptures also, you know, that I want to share with you that it talks about the Holy Spirit, you know. So let's see this. Look at the godlike attributes that he has as we read them. You can jot these down. Look them up for yourself. Hebrews 9:14. He's the eternal Spirit. He's eternal. God is eternal. God's the only one, except that he's given us that life in him. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. He's omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. Luke 1:37. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Filled with all wisdom and all might, all knowledge, the Holy Spirit. Very God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. Divine works are ascribed to him. He shared in the creation of the world. Genesis 1:2. He creates new creatures in Christ Jesus. John 3:5 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Whew. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, 8 through 11. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He proceeded from the Father and from Christ. John 15:26, 16 and 7. All these prove the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He proceeded from the Father. He proceeded from the Christ. They're all one. So I pray in these, you know, few weeks here, we've become to have such a relationship with God through his Spirit. You can experience him. You can experience him every day, every day. It tells us in John 3:1-8, except a man experiences, you know, being baptized in water and new birth, a natural birth and a spiritual birth, except a man be born again of the Spirit of God. He can't enter the kingdom of God. It only comes through the Spirit of God coming into us. You know, let's turn back to Romans 8. Except a man is born again, born of water, born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Natural birth, that's when a baby is born. There's a water birth. That's not water baptism. Except a man is born naturally and of the Spirit of God. But let's look over here in Acts chapter 8. Can you find that? And let's look at a few scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Did I mess you up? What did I just say? Acts? Oh, I'm sorry. The other Acts. Romans chapter 8. Okay, I'm sorry. Romans 8. Keep me straight. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You either have it or you don't. He's in you or he's not in you. You're born again or you're not born again. See, well, I try to be good. That ain't going to get it. Being good does not get you born again. The Spirit of God is he's in you or he's not in you. And the only way he's going to get in you is you acknowledging him and asking him to come in. He will not come in until he's invited. He's a humble spirit, although he's all powerful. And that God doesn't push or shove. He waits for us to respond. If God pushed himself on us, he wouldn't be a loving God. We wouldn't have a free will. We'd be puppets, see, pulling our strings. And so that's why he knocks at the door of our hearts. And that when we acknowledge him and ask him to come in, then he'll come in. And so he won't enter. You know, what kind of person would come to your door and just beat down the door? I mean, you know, the Gestapo, you know, mafia, maybe, you know. But, you know, that what kind of a loving person would that be? I came for dinner. Bring in a door. You know, fix it right now. You will have fellowship with me tonight. I want chicken Marcella. You know, they're Italian. You know, so, you know, God doesn't do that. God waits for the invitation. And then we invite him to come inside. And so it says, if he's not in us, we don't belong to him. Let's look at a couple more of these. Look in verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, you see, that's in us. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Let's look down here in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. We'll talk about this later, this verse. Whereby you cry, Abba, Father, Papa, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God. That's technon, born ones. That's children of God, born ones. You know, we sing a song. It's an old song. We don't sing it, but you sing it in Calvary Temple, Fort Wayne. It says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Oh, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Getting high here. He will quicken your mortal bodies. If the Spirit dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal bodies. If the Spirit dwells in you, if the same Spirit, it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that empowered him, the same Spirit that gave wisdom and direction and discerning of spirits, the same Spirit that allowed those gifts to operate, the same Spirit in Jesus, the same Spirit that was in Peter, the same Spirit that was in Paul. That's the Spirit that was in you, that's in you now. It's the same Spirit. It's not another Spirit. It's not a baby Spirit. You got the real deal, the Holy Spirit, mighty God lives in your life. And when you recognize it and depend on him and look and pray and believe God is going to carry out his promises by the mighty power that he's given us through his Spirit that's always present, things will begin to happen in your life. And when you pray, knowing that that power backs you up, things are going to happen in your prayer life. It's going to come alive. When you begin to pray, knowing the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, witnessing to you, this is going to happen. I'm going to carry it out. I am active on your part. Things are going to happen in your prayer life as the Spirit leads and guides and anoints you. It won't be dead, dry prayer anymore. Amen. You won't get up in the morning and go, oh, God, well, man, I'm really tired today. I know last night in church, I said I was going to spend some time with you this morning, but hey, you know, I'll catch you later, okay? And But I really do need you to bless me today because I'm not doing very well, you know. So, you know, prosper me. Give me more money today because I really need you in my life, you know. So, okay, signing off for now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, talk to you later. Like powerless, nothing prayer, self-centered. But man, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, whoa, man, I mean, you begin to pray. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is all about. That man, the Holy Ghost comes on you and begins to pray through you and intercede. And there's a power in it. It's just like, that's what it says. It's like an artesian well. Yeah, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You don't have to try to make it. It's just, it's a gusher. And that you just pray, it starts to come. You got to stir it up, though. You got to get it started. You got to stir it up. There's times where I just don't feel like praying. How many of you felt that way? Thank you. I know every one of you do. And but you got to stir it up. You got to pump it up. Just like a well. You got to, you know, prime it a little bit. You know, if you don't have prime in there, what do you do? You remember those? How many of you ever used those old pump? Not pimp. I didn't say pimp. I said pimp. All right. Pump. How many of you ever used a pump handle? How many of you done that? Let me see. You know, some of you don't have your hands up. Me, you're all young. How many of you, come on, you've used one of those old pump handles. You know, what happens if it's not primed? And then pretty soon, drip. You know, it's like, it begins to go, and you keep going, and then it starts to come. If it's prime, you know, that you just pour a little in there and it just takes off, you know. But you have to work sometime to get it going. Well, it's the same with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you just got to, if you're all primed, you're set, you're ready, you're filled up, or you've been into the Word, or you heard good preaching, or somebody else is, you know, with you, and they can prime your pump, you know. But you just keep working at it till it comes. It'll come. I can remember times I just said, God, you know, I remember one specific time. I know I've shared this before. It's been years ago. I mean, it was like four houses ago when I first moved here. And that I was laying there. I was so discouraged. Probably was a Monday. I don't know why pastors get down on Mondays. Because the devil tries to tell them nothing happened on Sunday. You know, but I was laying there and I was kind of like, whoa, laying on the couch, head on the TV. I'm laying there. Whoa, and God just whispered to me. I'm sure he says, get up. What are you doing laying there? What are you doing just laying there in unbelief and misery? Go out and pray. I want you to get up. Quit being in defeat. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And at that time, there was about an acre ground, and there were some woods out there. And so I just went out in the back, and I said, okay. And I just started, Lord, well, I feel miserable, but God, I praise you, and you're worthy, and I know you're here. And so I just lift you up, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank you for this day and who you are, and I know you're here. And man, the Spirit of God came on me pretty soon, man. There's dust standards on me, and I'm, wow, hallelujah, you know, the Holy Ghost anoints. It just starts to come. And I went back inside. I sure didn't go back and lay down, turn on the TV. I might come back and, hallelujah, where's the devil? Let me at him. Praise the Lord, you know. You got to prime it. You got to pump. And that the Holy Ghost will intercede through you. He's a person. If you acknowledge him and ask for his help, you can't pray in the flesh. He said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Can't pray without him. You can't even pray without him. He wants to fill you. Tonight, I want to dismiss the service right now, but I feel like God wants to do something. We've talked about the Spirit. He wants to do something. First of all, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and received your prayer language, God wants to give it to you tonight. He wants to do it tonight. And that it's a gift. You ask him for it, he'll give it to you. We're going to lay hands on you. Sometimes you lay hands on people, receive it. Sometimes, you know, it happened to me. I was by myself at home. I just said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to start speaking. I don't know what I'm doing. And God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. But the Lord is going to baptize you tonight. I've been in places where the Holy Spirit just fell on people. You didn't do anything. But God's going to do it. And that if you've never received it, it changed my life more, except for salvation. It changed my life more than anything when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and God gave me my prayer language. There was an anointing in prayer and that affects every area of your life. You know, we want revival, but we don't pray for it. We want God to meet our needs and go before us, but we don't pray. Prayer is what precedes it all. That's what makes it happen. You know, we're entering into the largest effort as a church to evangelize the city we've ever done, moving into the largest opportunity we've had, and we've got people that don't pray. Why do you think it's going to happen? I mean, we got to pray. It's not going to happen because of a building. It's going to happen when God's people rally the same way that they came out and worked on Saturday, the same way that they volunteered this morning to say, we want to be used. When we begin to pray and we begin to enter in, you look at any revival when they began, it began with prayer. When people said, God, we can't do it. We need your help. And they began to pray and rallied together in unity. And the Holy Ghost fell on them and went before them and mighty things happened. Hello. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, even as I dismiss, that we'd be aware of you as we go. But you're in us. When we go to bed tonight and lay down, you're there. In the middle of the night, if we wake up, you're there. Your peace, your presence, your comfort, your confidence that we receive. Lord, when we get up in the morning, we'll be aware of your presence. First thing we get up. Lord, before we leave the house, we're going to spend time with you in your word. We're going to pray. And Holy Spirit, you're going to lead and guide us in our devotions tomorrow. Pray to the Lord all day tomorrow. And Lord, in our life, it's not going to be the same as we're of you. You're going to lead us and guide us where we go, what we look at, what we say, who we're with, the thoughts we have. Lord, you're going to take over our life as we're aware that you're there in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand to our feet. As I dismiss tonight, first, if you've never asked Christ to come in your life, you can meet him and experience him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. If you've never put your trust in Jesus alone for your Savior, as your Savior, he died for you alone. The church didn't die for you. Church won't get you to heaven going to church. No other saint died for you. Peter didn't die for you. Paul didn't die for you. St. Francis of Assisi didn't die for you. Mary didn't die for you. Jesus died for you. There's only one intercessor between God and men, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the ransom. And it says, if you put your trust in him, if you call on the name of Jesus, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, you'll be saved. Believing in your heart, he's the Lord. Confess with your mouth. Lord, I believe you are the Lord. You died for me. You paid the price for my sin. You said if I would repent and turn from my sin, forgive me, God. I know I've sinned and I need you in my life. Come into my life. I confess. I believe. I receive you now in Jesus' name. If that's you, I want you to just lift your hand and say, Pastor John, I want to know him. I want to experience him. I've never done that. And you just say, will you pray for me? And you slip your hand up wherever you are. When I see it, you can put it down and you'll say, pray for me. Anyone this evening? Just slip it up. Listen, if you're not saved, I wouldn't leave this place until I was right with God. You're like walking on thin ice with eternity under you or heaven above you. Which way is it going to be? If you don't have your ticket, I'd say you can gamble about some things, but don't gamble about your eternal destination. Is there anyone tonight you've never asked Jesus to come in your life? Thank you so much. God bless you. Who else this evening? You say, pray for me. I know I need him. Put my trust in him alone. Father, I pray, Lord, for the brother that I saw, the hand that he raised. I said I would pray for him. And I pray tonight, before he leaves this place, he's going to leave this place with absolute confidence in your salvation, in your victory, Lord, for his love, forgiveness, for your power in his life. It's going to lift him up as he walks in your will and plan. Lord, he's never going to doubt ever again your presence in his life, in the name of Jesus. I'd like for Doug, maybe you can stand right over there on that end. As we close service, I'd like for that brother to just go talk to Doug as we dismiss. I'd like for the pastors come up here and elders. And anyone that's never received baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we dismiss, I want you to come up. You can stand in front of any of these people. If you just want to get filled up, you just been down. You say, man, I just want to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I'm just sagging a little bit. I just need to get starter jumped here, you know, hot wired. And they're going to lay hands on you, and God's going to do something tonight, and you can come up as we dismiss service too. Father, we thank you, Lord, for a great day in your house. I thank you for people that love you, that are hungry for you, that are hungry for your word. We thank you, oh God. You said, Lord, you would confirm your word with signs and wonders following. And that's what we're believing for right now. As you bring healing and deliverance and victory, and people are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Love one another. Those of you that want to be ministered to, the altar's open for you. Let God do something new in your hearts, new in your spirits. You just come right now. You just stand in front of any of these people. They'll minister to you. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah.